Good morning, everyone. If you're wondering what the business administrator is going to talk about, I'm not going to talk about money. How about that? When Pastor invited me to speak this weekend, if you've never had an opportunity to speak in a preaching way, it's very unique because it's not a lecture, it's not a speech. Our job, as we share with you, is not to tell you what we know. Our job in this moment is to share what God has for you to hear. So I want you to know that I have prayed for every single one of you. I didn't know your face or your name, but I prayed for you because I believe that God has a message for you today. And He has specifically designed me to say these things for Him to you. So let's start here. I am uncomfortable. Anybody else say you're uncomfortable? And I don't just mean because I'm having to speak, but with COVID and politics and unrest, I just don't even feel comfortable in my own country sometimes right now. In the past year, I lost my mom. I lost my dad a few years ago, and so I'm in this weird place in life where I don't have any parents or grandparents. That's uncomfortable. I don't have that anchor to pick up the phone and say, hey, mom, what do you think? My wife and I are building a house, and that's uncomfortable sometimes, not because me and wifey don't get along, but just the whole deal. I mean, that's a lot. And I tend to worry anyway. If Pastor Darla was here, she'd say a loud amen. I tend to worry. So in the middle of this year, I have been very uncomfortable. And so I just want to make sure I'm on the right path. Is there anybody else out there that's uncomfortable right now? All right. Thank you, Lord. You spoke to me because we're all uncomfortable together. I think we all crave comfort. I'm not even sure there's anything wrong with that. But when we all are in this time of being uncomfortable, it has forced me to do some deep thinking lately. Because as a believer, do you know what you were promised? Was it comfort, ease, stability, no care, no fear? If you read this passage carefully that I'm going to mention to you in just a few moments, you will hear what the Scripture does promise. And as the Lord prepared me for this message, He drew me back to one of my favorite books. And just so you have a moment, if you want to grab your Bible and flip over to Philippians chapter 4, or your smartphone, either way, Philippians chapter 4. This message really started from a conversation with Miss Robin. Miss Robin is the church accountant, and she's actually got a little bit more tenure here than me. And Miss Robin's been doing the books for the church for 15 plus years. And she and I were talking the other day. She's a school teacher during the day. Talk about uncomfortable. And we were talking just about how challenging the season is with the COVID stuff and the school stuff and the parent stuff and the politics stuff, and on the list goes. Now, my Broncos were terrible this year. That's really uncomfortable. We were talking about how uncomfortable this season has been. And I said to Miss Robin these words, and it became the nugget on which God brought this thought to my heart. I said to Miss Robin, God didn't promise us comfort. He promised us peace. So when Pastor Randy asked me to speak today, that thought just grew in my heart. And the Lord drew me to this passage of Scripture in Philippians chapter 4. And follow along with me if you have your Bibles there. I believe the reference is on the screen. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4, Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always," and I'll say it again, rejoice. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, I ask now, Lord, that you anoint me, because I don't just have a speech to share. I have your word to share. So now, Lord, anoint me to be able to say what you want me to say, but also, Lord, anoint the hearer to be able to understand and to hear and to receive what you have for me to say. We pray this in your name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You see, there is the falsehood of being comfortable. That's actually the title of my message for those of you that like to take notes. The title and the theme of my message is the falsehood of being comfortable. Paul makes it clear in this passage that the promise is not about being comfortable. It is peace. And there's a difference between comfortable and peace. So if we're going to choose peace over comfort, we first must learn the process. The process of peace is in verses 4 through 6. First of all, where were these words written? Just let me speak aside for a moment. This isn't even in my notes. As a Christian, we challenge you to not only read your Bible, but to study your Bible. Because sometimes just the words you read don't tell all of the story. Because if you didn't know that Paul wrote the book of Philippians from a prison cell, you're missing a big part of the point. A man wrote a book about joy from a prison cell. That speaks to my heart. Because you know what that means? I call that the context of joy. That means no matter what the situation is in your life, we're going to start the process. This is the process of peace. We start it by understanding where Paul's writing these words. He's either writing it or he's dictating it, some believe, to a transcriber. And the book of Philippians comes from a prison cell, and its theme is joy. I don't know about you, but I would not be writing a book about joy from prison. He starts the process from prison and then says these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And I think I need to say it again, rejoice. So from prison, Paul begins this process of peace by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord." Then the process continues. He says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near." That has two sides to it. I feel like the Lord spoke to me yesterday about this. This has two sides to it, because one, if you're in a difficult or uncomfortable situation and you're going to begin this process and you're going to rejoice in the Lord, then Paul says, let your gentleness be evident. In other words, begin to demonstrate the peace that God's going to bring to your life. Let your gentleness be evident. And why is that? Because the Lord is near. It's not because you're awesome or I'm strong. It's because the Lord is near. Let your gentleness be evident. The Lord is near. And then Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, with prayer and thanksgiving, present your request to God. So here's the process. I'm going to be redundant. I apologize in advance. But they say things and say them again. So I'm going to do that because I really want us to understand this process. The process here is when we are uncomfortable, and about 90% of us said we are, then here's the process. We begin, no matter what the situation is, we begin the process by rejoicing always. And then we show our trust, because we show our gentleness, because the Lord is near. We're not anxious about anything, but in every situation we present our request to the Lord. So If you're going to give yourself a grade on a report card about the process of peace, how's your grade today? I told my wife this weekend, this is not one of those messages where I'm going to say, hey, I'm really good at this. Here's what you need to do. This is one of those messages where I will attest, I'm really bad at this. So what would your grade be? I'd probably bring in a nice C-. And I really didn't like making C's in school. Didn't do it very often. So this morning, how are we doing in the process of peace? You see, in this time in which we live, this is a deep and challenging thought from Scripture that we all need to hear and let these words speak to our heart in this time. I Googled the power process this week, and I was drawn to this blogger, and he was purely about business, but man, these words spoke to me, so I want to share them. His name is Darren Bork. And he wrote this article called The Power of Process. Now listen to this. He says, I am big on the power of process. Control the controllables to influence the uncontrollables. Hello, 2021. Control the controllables to influence the uncontrollables. A laser focus on process is a critical ingredient of sustainable success. Winning businesses know this. He didn't know that, but winning Christians know this as well. The underlying principle of process is to repeat an action or series of steps that produces a highly predictable outcome. Wow. What was that process? First, you understand the context of your situation just it is important. It doesn't matter how bad or good your situation is because the process is the process, and it is, first, we understand the context. Second, we rejoice in the Lord, always. Third, we show our trust. Fourth, we're not anxious about anything. Fifth, in every situation, we let our requests known to the Lord. The underlying principle of process is to repeat an action or a series of steps that produces a highly predictable outcome. What is this outcome? So if you're going to take these steps, if you're going to follow this process of peace, what's the outcome that the Bible promises to you? Verse 7 says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, so you're not even going to understand it sometimes, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you will have the faith today, even in the midst of the uncomfortable situation you may be in, to believe God and follow this process, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord. I'm going to believe the Lord. I'm going to do all of these things. I'm not going to be anxious. I'm going to, in every situation, I'm going to let my request known. If I'm going to follow that process, the Lord offers me an outcome. And that outcome is this, and the peace of God. And the peace of God. Let that set in your heart today, folks. Let the peace of God set in your heart. So there's the process. And if we're going to choose peace over comfort, then we must learn second, the protection. Excuse me, the protection. Verse 7. So we have the process, then we have the protection, because again, God never promised us to be comfortable, but he did promise us peace. So let's look at this passage again, and as we follow the process from verses 4 through 6, then we learn the result of that process is found in verse 7, and that is the protection. And this is an awesome verse that I learned a great deal about this week. I hope it ministers to you. This verse speaks of a military action. This is not a passive, you know, sweet song on the radio kind of peace. This is militant. This is the peace of God, which is beyond understanding, will protect, will guard, will defend, will take military action in defense of, first of all, your heart, your most vulnerable part, the thing without we can't live. the part that we can quickly become hardened and bitter. God said, I will send my peace to guard your heart. And then he said, I will guard your mind. Your mind is your reason, your intellect, your thinking, your understanding. You see, it takes both things to serve God. This is not an either or deal. This is both. Because the Lord wants your heart, but it's also okay for a Christian to have a mind. Because there's reason and there's intellect and there's thinking. And God says, as you follow this process of peace, I'm going to send protection for your heart and your mind. And it's going to be a military action that God is going to send his peace to protect, to guard, to defend, and take military action on your behalf for your heart and your mind. So let me ask you a question. Whoever said uncomfortable things were bad? Whoever said that? I like to believe in comfortable, but nobody ever said, and the Bible certainly never said, that uncomfortable things were bad. And I'd like to illustrate that for you in some very simple ways this morning. This summer, I had the unique opportunity to attend my youngest son's wedding. And it was a sweet occasion. I'm the father of the groom, so you know there's not a whole lot of responsibility. Maybe you kick in some cash, take care of the rehearsal dinner, had fun. Day of the wedding, pretty laid back for the dad of the groom. You're going to take some pictures. You're going to walk down an aisle. No big deal. So that morning, I got up early. I was doing some work on my laptop in the hotel, and my son calls me. And I thought, well, that's weird, because I knew he had all kinds of stuff going on that day, responsibilities. So I answered the phone. I'm like, what's up, buddy? And he's like, hey, Dad. So the officiant just called, and he has COVID, and he can't do the service. So, hey, Dad, would you mind being the officiant of my wedding of several hundred people at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the ceremony's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon? And if all the things in the life that I am not a last-minute kind of guy. I'm a planner and an organizer. And so when my son called me, I'm like, sure. Drove over to his apartment, got all the thoughts together. My dear wife took me to an office supply store, and we bought a notebook and a hole punch. Drove back to the hotel room, and I worked all day writing a message. And so this is the result of that day. Put that up there, fellas. How about that? One of the most special moments of my life now came from something very uncomfortable. And my dear daughter-in-law, I believe, if she was here today, would tell you the birth of my grandson was not super comfortable. Emily did the deal where she went in for her checkup, no big deal. I think it was a Friday. By Saturday, we had a grandchild. It was like, I think this is it. She had a C-section and all that. It wasn't a comfortable process, but this right here is the result of that. This was my birthday present. Read that shirt. If you don't have your glasses on, that says Grandpa's best buddy. That was my birthday present. That is Mr. Hudson. The process wasn't comfortable, but something awesome came out of it. Listen, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. What Priscilla is doing is not comfortable. But God has something great for her to do. So she's going to stand in the process of peace and understand that God's going to protect her. He's going to send the peace of God to military action to protect her heart and her mind and provide a way for her to minister in a way that many of us cannot do. So I know this is going to get replayed back to me many times by my wife and my staff. But nobody ever said uncomfortable was bad. Because some of the most awesome things in your life are going to come out of times that are uncomfortable. So if we're going to choose peace over comfort, we must learn finally the practice. And this is straight out of Scripture, the practice. After the process, five steps, then leads to the protection. The peace of God is going to guard your heart and your mind. Then we move on to the practice, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Right there, right from Scripture. Put it into practice. And the peace of God, I'm sorry, this is the God of peace, will be with you. So verse 8 says, practice what you think about. Oh my goodness, if I ever had a point this weekend where the Lord just did the old gouge me in the ribs. Practice what you think about. How much time do I think about that which is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, and admirable? How much time do we think about the opposite? Paul says, think about these things. This is part of the process. You're going to have the process, then the protection of the peace of God, and now you're going to put into practice this work. And Paul says one of the first things you need to do if you're going to practice peace is here's what you need to think about. And then Paul says, then you need to practice how you live. Practice what you think about, now practice how you live. Paul says, put your learning, receiving, hearing, and seeing in practice. Verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. What did the article say? Control the controllables to influence the uncontrollables. You want to put that to action in your life? This is how you do it. You have the process of peace, the five steps, understanding that that's going to result in the peace of God protecting your heart and mind, which then leads to me practicing peace, which is going to impact the way I think and the way I live. This is the Bible come to life, folks. This is how you live in peace. And if you're sitting here today and you're like, I'm so uncomfortable, my life is in such a mess, this message is for you. This is the Bible's answer to your situation. This is, you got to learn to what you're thinking about, and you got to practice how you live. And then once again, Paul's going to give us a result. I like the way he writes. He gives us equations. I love numbers. It's a good thing for my job, right? So Paul says, here's the result. Here's the equal sign. If you're going to do the process, understand the protection, and live in the practice of peace, here's the result. And the God of peace will be with you. So let me put the process and the protection and the practice into full effect by telling you the story as I conclude. About a year ago, I was asked by a dear young couple to speak at the funeral of their sweet newborn that had passed away. And I researched this story for that day. And as I was preparing to speak to you folks, a sense that the Lord would have me tell this story. You may know it, you may not. Horatio Spafford was a successful lawyer in Chicago in the 1800s who had invested heavily in real estate along the shores of Lake Michigan. And Horatio was a prosperous man. He was a devoted husband, a father, a devout Christian. But in 1870, a series of events began to turn his life inside out. Horatio and Anna's only son, Horatio Jr., died of scarlet fever at the tender age of 4. And the following year, while still mourning the loss of their son, every single one of Horatio's investments was lost in the Great Chicago Fire. A few years later, aware of the toll of all of this turmoil on his family, he scraped together enough money for he and his wife and their 4 daughters to take a ship to England because he was good friends with D.L. Moody, who was a famous evangelist, and he wanted to be at the crusade that D.L. Moody was going to do in England. So he raised the money, and they were planning their trip, but shortly before they set sail, a last-minute business development threatened to derail the trip. So Horatio persuaded his wife to go ahead, saying he would follow them shortly. So in November of 1873, Anna and the girls boarded the French ship, the Ville de Havre. And 4 days into their transatlantic journey, Horatio received the devastating news that that ship had collided with another ship, and the Ville de Havre sank in 12 minutes, and it took with it 226 of her passengers. It was the worst naval disaster until the Titanic some 40 years later. Several days later, when the survivors reached Wales, Spafford received a 6-word telegram that says, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" As soon as possible, Horatio boarded a ship to join his grieving wife. And en route to England, the captain called him to the bridge and said, "A careful reckoning has been made, and I believe we are now passing the very area where the Ville de Havre sunk." And later, a daughter of his that was born after the tragedy heard the story from her dad, and the story goes that he left talking to the captain, went back to his room, and penned these words: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." Sing it with me. "It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul." Another verse says this: "And Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul." If you're struggling today, I have good news. If you're lost or broken or full of fear, I have good news. If your relationship with God is weak or even non-existent, I have good news for you. If you've fallen prey to the falsehood of being comfortable, I have good news for you. The peace of God that is beyond understanding will send military action against your fear today. He's going to stand in defense against your worry and your doubt and your sinfulness and even your unbelief, because the God of peace will be with you. And understanding that in the most tragic of moments, it is still well with my soul. Pastor Andy.
Thank you, Bradley. I watched the news the other day, and they had a guy on there, and he said that people today don't value freedom. They just want to be taken care of. And they're willing to sacrifice their freedom so they'll be taken care of. I want to say today, you don't have to sacrifice your freedom to be taken care of. You might have to redefine your getting taken care of, because it's not our government's job. Jesus said, "Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free." Freedom comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Don't let this world get you down. Don't let the trials and the tribulation and all of the don't let it get you down. Understand, it is well with my soul. And if it's well with your soul, you're good. It's okay. He's got this. When I was down here at the arena, and I don't want to go on, I just feel like I should say this, and I don't know why, but maybe somebody needs to hear it. When I was down at the arena, and I cut my thumb off, I went, like that. And I thought that everybody would come running because I hurt myself. And they just looked at me, and they went back to the roping box. And I'm like, hey, I got a problem. But here's what they said. Later on, they told me, said, you always holler. You always are hollering. You're always having fun. You're always, oh, and we just thought you might have caught one. You know, we didn't even, I mean, it's like, we go over to a friend of mine's house, and we rope, and there's a couple Hispanic guys there. And a lot of times I'll just go, hallelujah, and they'll go, hallelujah, hallelujah. They got to where they do that. Rejoice in the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength. And even if you get hurt, they'll think you're doing good because you always rejoice anyway. The peace that passes all understanding. Great message. The peace that passes. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest gift that you'll ever, ever have in your life is to be able to stand up here or sit where you're at and sing, it is well with my soul. Because of him, we have liberty and freedom. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for this amazing message. I thank you, Lord, that you have penetrated our hearts and our minds. We pray, oh God, that you would have your way. I pray you just help us, Lord. I want everybody to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This morning, Here's what the Bible says. It says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. And even just because you're Christian doesn't mean that you don't sin, but what Jesus said, that if you confess your sin, that he would be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He also said this. He said that you must be born again. What that means is that you have to be born physically. First of all, y'all got that part down, but we also have to be born spiritually. And unless we're born spiritually, he said, we can't see the kingdom of God. In other words, we won't ever know what freedom is. We won't ever know what peace is. Because we don't know the giver of peace. So this morning, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you have and you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus. I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Slip your hand up high. Preacher, that's me. Yeah, back in the back. Thank you, partner. I love you. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high. I'm going to leave your hand up till we get a Bible in it. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to make him the Lord of my life. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you want to have peace in your life, you can't have it through the things that you own, through the people that you know. It only comes from your Creator. He created you to need him. Anybody else? Slip your hand up high before we move on. Anybody else? Preacher, that's me. Anybody? Thank you, Lord. This one, if you raise your hand, sir, would you look up at me? Would you mind coming up? Let me pray with you. I'm proud of you. I know it might be uncomfortable, but we already preached about that. Thank you, Lord. It's a beautiful day. I'm proud of you, my friend. Tell me your name.
Aaron Wessinger.
Yes, bless you, buddy. I'm so proud of you. Can I pray with you?
Yes, sir.
Y'all help us pray. Just repeat after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
Thank you for dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Lord, I am a sinner.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my life.
I invite you into my life.
From this day forward.
This day forward.
I give my life to you.
I give my life to you.
Help me to read my Bible.
Read my Bible.
To pray.
To pray.
Show up for church. And get baptized.
Get baptized.
I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Teach me to love you more.
Teach me to love you more.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. I'm proud of you, Aaron. Bless you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Hey, listen, go visit that lady. You stand with me, please. Get some rejoicing in you. You know what I'm saying? Get so much rejoicing in you that when you're having bad times, they think you're just rejoicing. How many needs more rejoicing in you? Raise both hands. I want to pray for you. Lord, we give to you, oh God, our lives, our emotions, oh God. Help us, Lord, not to be caught up in the vein that this world would like to blow us into. But we come up against the things that are not honoring to you. And we pray, oh God, that you would just bless us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to have your peace that passes all understanding. And we understand, if we go on down that verse a little bit, it says that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And we thank you that you give us strength as we walk through life. Help us to express that vocally. And Lord, put it in our hearts first, put it in our minds, and then help us to express vocally and rejoice. And thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. God bless you. Go see Priscilla outside. We love you. God bless you. We got our prayer team. If you need special prayer, love to have you. I just want to say thank you to everybody watching online. My goodness, what a great service. And thank you to all of our friends in Tennessee. And I just want to say this. If you prayed that prayer today, send us an email or put it online, and we'd like to send you a Bible. We'd like to help you in your relationship with God. We want to be there for y'all to the best of our abilities. And so we appreciate you. We love you. And thank you so much for watching today. And just pray that God's blessings will be on you throughout this week. Hey, listen, we have a lot of things available for you. So go get on our website and we'll help you out. We also got an app that keeps you involved. And so we just love you. Thank you for it. God bless you.